Since this is Search the Scriptures Sunday for us, then we're going to again do a Search the Scriptures with questions that have been in my youth Search the Scriptures bag. I'm actually going to pull out the same one I used this morning because I think this would be helpful for us. So here's the question that we're pulling out today. It says, if the book of life were destroyed, then would there be no heaven? What is the book of life? Do you know what the book of life is?
The Bible.
Does it seem like it's the Bible? How many of you think the book of life is the Bible? How many of you think it might be something else? You can't vote for both. Well, I guess I'll let you vote for both. So what is the book of life? It's not the Bible, although the Bible tells about it. What do you think? A book that has all the names of the people that go to heaven. That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, let me read for you from the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. And the next to the last chapter is chapter 20. And it talks about the book of life. So he's talking about when everything in this world comes to an end before God makes a new heaven and a new earth. So the things all around us, eventually he's going to make something brand new and even better. But when we come to that end, then there's going to be what's called a judgment. And this is what he says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Who do you think was seated on that throne? Who?
Jesus,
God is on that throne. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Now, the dead here isn't talking about zombies, okay? These dead who are great and small standing before the throne, it's because even when this body dies, I still have that immaterial part of me that is either in heaven or away from God, not in heaven. And in this case, everybody is standing before God. He says, I saw the dead standing before the throne where God is on the throne. And it says, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of
life.
The book of life. That's right. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then it moves to chapter 21 that tells us about those whose names are in the book of life and that they're going to be in the new heaven and the new earth where there's going to be no pain, no suffering, no death. Everything is going to be joyful for eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be in the book of life. How about you? Does that sound like a good plan? Let's be in the book of life. How do we get our names in the book of life? What do you think?
You have to trust God as your Savior.
Trust God as your Savior, yeah. Being baptized is a way we show that we've trusted God, isn't it? So we're trusting in Jesus. We believe what the Bible says about Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, then the Bible says he writes our names in the book of life. But the question says, if the book of life were destroyed, then would there be no heaven? How are we going to destroy the book of life? You got any idea? By ripping it, do you think that somebody can go to God and jerk that book of life away from him and rip it up? Probably not. We're talking God here. What do you think?
Would Jesus destroy it himself? Because that's like the only way.
Do you think Jesus would destroy it? And if that's the only way, then it's never going to be destroyed, is it? We think of a book in terms of something that we can touch and feel, like this book, a Bible. But the book of life doesn't necessarily have to be something that is written like this. As a matter of fact, Jesus said back in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the disciples had been out. Jesus sent his disciples out to tell everybody about him. And then they came back and they were excited because not only had people responded to the good news of Jesus, but they had even seen some demons cast out and people got well. And so they were all excited about it. And this is what Jesus said. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So in one place it says your names are written in the book of life. Another place it says your names are written in heaven. It means the same thing. And really there's no way to unmake that. There's no way to undo that. There's no way to destroy the book of life. Now you've got something precious at your home. Maybe you've got a favorite book at your home. And things could happen. We could have a big storm. Maybe one of those winds comes through and it rips the top off and the rains come in and it destroys the book because it gets all soggy and then kind of disintegrates. Or maybe there would be some sort of a fire, and that fire comes and burns up everything in the house, and now your favorite book is no more. Or maybe somebody breaks in, and they find your book, and they think, ooh, I want that book. And then they take it, and you never see it again. There's different things that can happen to the books that we have, but there's really nothing that can happen to the book that God keeps, is there? God is greater than all, and he won't let anything happen to it. He's the one that writes it. And so he knows exactly whose names are written in there. And Jesus said, rejoice with knowing that your names are written in the book of life. I put my trust in Jesus when I was 7 years old. How many of you are 7 years old or older? Any of you? A few of you? Okay. So I was about your age, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And the Bible says my name is now written in the book of life, and nothing can undo that. So we don't have to pretend that it gets destroyed and now we don't know what to do, because it'll never get destroyed. And if you have never accepted Jesus as Savior, be sure that you do that, because once you have, then you are forever in the book of life. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for reminding us that the book of life contains the names of all of those who have accepted Jesus as Savior and will spend eternity in your presence. They won't be thrown into the lake of fire where unbelievers are, but rather we get to go to heaven to be with you forever. I pray for each of these young men and women here in front of me that they would trust in Jesus, and for all who are here today and listening online, that all of us would make sure that our names are written in the book of life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first question here in second service. What does the Bible say about aliens? Are there really aliens among us or on other planets? I know some people. I'm just saying. What does the Bible say about aliens? Okay, well, we'll start with this. The Bible doesn't specifically state anything about aliens other than those who are not residents of a certain area, but that's kind of like legal or illegal aliens. It's not extraterrestrial aliens. So the Bible doesn't say anything specifically about extraterrestrial aliens. However, the Bible does say that God is the creator of all life, and that would include human life, animal life, still terrestrial, and angelic life, no longer terrestrial. So in that sense, we could say that angels are, in a sense, aliens. They are not of this world. They are above this world. And as a matter of fact, as we've been in Hebrews now for quite some time, the opening chapter of Hebrews addresses the fact that God is the creator of that life as well. Turning back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 says, of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. So that's just a reference to angelic beings. He mentions the angelic beings back in verse 5, but then he gives that specific instruction there. And repeatedly throughout chapters 1, 2, and 3, there are references to angelic beings. And indeed, later on, we're going to have a reference in late chapter 13, I think, that talks about that sometimes we may end up interacting with angels, but we don't even know it because they don't reveal themselves as such. So that kind of interaction does take place. And from the perspective of do aliens exist, I would have to concede that there are beings that are not of this world that do exist. However, my guess is that the impetus behind this question is something along the lines of Area 51, which doesn't really exist, by the way. Just blowing that out there. Anyway. So whatever it is where you've got some research facility and you've heard the reports about alien life coming here, yeah, I'm not going to buy any of that. There is no doubt that Satan is behind much of that type of thing, because Satan has much to gain by deceiving people into thinking thoughts outside of God's direction. So whatever beings that we're talking about, any beings, and I'm not going to claim that we have an answer here that tells us everything that God has ever done, but I will say that any beings that do exist are created by God. There is only one eternal God in three persons, three eternal persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons beyond our comprehension, and everything that has been created by Him. So Colossians, let's go back there. I think it's chapter 2. There's several places we could go with that one, but in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, which doesn't mean that He looks like God. It means that if you need to know how God looks, you look at Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him, that is by Jesus, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This tells us that Jesus Christ is the creator of everything that exists. So regardless of how you want to define alien, if there is other life out there besides the life that we know about, it is life that has been created specifically by God Almighty, by Jesus Christ, according to this passage, who is God Almighty. It has been created by Him and is not eternal. So there are no beings outside of this world that have ended up into existence apart from God having made it happen. Now, has God created other beings? We've already established He created angelic beings. At what point did he create them? We're really not told. They may have existed before He created the world with what we know, this earth and the planets. They may have existed before then. Implications seem to suggest that, but I'm not even going to give you that with an absolute certainty. Yeah, I am, because it says even in Hebrews that the morning stars rejoice together at His creation. And that's a reference to angelic beings. So that means angelic beings were rejoicing when at some point in what we would refer to as history, and keep in mind that we as human beings, as created beings, are subject to history. God is not. He exists outside of history. God does not have a point at which He began, and therefore He has just always been, and history exists within Him. So according to history, the angelic beings rejoiced when they saw God's creative powers that made this world and this universe as we know it. So those angelic beings would be classified as aliens, but I'm not going to refer to them as that, because generally by aliens we're thinking little green men with antennas or whatever it is that they have. Do those other beings exist? Are there beings on other planets? Which might be a better question. Are there really aliens among us or on other planets? Well, obviously, I don't know what is on other planets. Here's what I know. The scriptures clearly teach us that Jesus Christ was crucified and sent to be and designated to be our Savior before the foundations of the world. Is that here in Colossians or is that Ephesians? Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. And I'm going to pause there. We're not going to get into the whole subject of predestination right now, but if you wanted to write a question and drop it in the sack, we'll come up with that one another time. What I am saying here is that the plan of salvation for mankind was established before God created this world. My salvation, according to the scripture, was established in God before God made the heavens and the earth. I don't understand that. I believe it because the Bible says it's true, but I don't understand it. What I do know is that in light of that, there is no other way of salvation. Salvation for those who trust in Jesus was not an afterthought because man fell and then Jesus said, well, what are we going to do now? That was not an afterthought. God knew exactly what was going to happen. And so before He ever created man and woman, before He ever created this world, He had already determined this was going to be the way of salvation. And the reason that has a bearing on this whole question about aliens is because God has a plan for salvation that includes all human beings. All human beings can be saved only through him. And that salvation does not extend to beings that are not human beings. And the reason we know that is because the scriptures tell us, and if you've ever been here for our spirits and demons message that I've often taught around Halloween time, that what we know is that spirits and demons, the angels and the demons, are not ever going to experience redemption. That is a human, unique experience. We get to be redeemed. Fallen angels never have that opportunity because they knew exactly what they had. They were in the presence of Almighty God. They chose to rebel against God. Their destiny is already determined, and that destiny is eternal judgment. Unfallen angels aren't going to experience redemption because they were never in need of redemption. You only need to be redeemed if you've fallen. But God in his sovereignty chose to allow fallen human beings, that would be us, to experience redemption, to be brought back into a right relationship with God as he originally intended. That does not apply to other beings. It is a human anomaly, so to speak. It is a human reality that no other beings experience. So if you ask me, are there beings on other planets? The answer is going to be, well, if that's where God wants some angels to be, then yeah, I guess so. If that's where God is temporarily holding some demons, then yeah, I guess so. You're not going to find that information in Scripture. It never tells us where they are other than being locked into an abyss. We don't know because it's outside of the realm of physical reality of this universe that you and I are familiar with. We have a hard time grasping anything that is outside the realm of physical reality. And so even our pondering of the infinite universe around us is a pondering of the finite. We call it infinite, but it's a pondering of the finite because it is contained within God, who alone is truly infinite. So the universe exists within God. God doesn't exist within the universe. God is the creator of the universe. And all of the material aspects of this universe, from planets to solar systems to galaxies to dark matter and anything else that you can come up with, all of that exists in a physical way in reality. Outside of that physical reality, we're not given a lot of information other than the fact that God created angelic beings. We are told, and we looked at this in Hebrews, that these same angelic beings have an assignment that have to do with human beings. And it doesn't seem to suggest that it's only a few of these angelic beings that have this assignment. The implication, going back to Hebrews chapter 1 again, the implication is that that's true of all of them. He makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire, verse 7 of chapter 1 says. Go back and listen to some of our earlier Hebrews messages because we really focused on the fact that angels have a specific assignment, among other things, that includes ministering to mankind. So if we're imagining that there are some other beings out there that have no connection whatsoever to mankind, the scriptures give us no indication that that is true. So I can't tell you with absolute certainty, none of those things exist. I can tell you with absolute certainty, if they exist, they're accomplishing God's purposes, doing things God's way, and it would be foolish for us to expect that one of these days, a bunch of alien beings are going to show up here, and it's going to so blow our minds to find out that everything we ever believed is wrong. I mean, obviously, a lot of stuff we believe is wrong. But in terms of what the scriptures tell us, the Bible's never going to have to be rewritten because all of a sudden some aliens show up. It's not going to happen. Yeah, there's so much here. Somebody want to add something to it?
I've always found it interesting that when some of these aliens haven't asked questions, they believe in reincarnation, they believe in astrology, they believe in every occultic thing there is, except the scriptures. So I find that rather eye-opening as to where these things are coming from.
Yeah, even instructive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this coming from a guy who worked on Star Trek sets, by the way. Didn't you do that for years? Yeah, helped design those sets. I'm guessing you had no actual alien involvement. The equipment, okay, the equipment. in reference to Scott's observation, 2 Corinthians, is it chapter 12? Where does he talk about Satan being disguising himself as an angel of light? Where is that? 11, chapter 11. Thank you very much. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Okay, let me reference that. Years ago, I read a book by Arthur Clarke, who is not at all a Christian. I'm sure he's gone by now. He wrote a bunch of science fiction. You've probably heard of 2001, A Space Odyssey. Talk about a weird show. I mean, that was super weird. Not to mention the fact that it bought into all of this kind of nonsense. Nonetheless, he wrote a book, and I can't remember exactly what the name of this book is, but even as I read it when I was a teenager, I remember reading the story and trying to put this in the perspective of a biblical worldview. And the story was, and some of you may have read it, you may even remember the name of the book, but the story was of alien race that came in and they set up stations in our just above our atmosphere all around the world, and these aliens begin to interact with humans on a regular basis. And I remember one particular scene. It was one of these aliens sitting in a library reading. This was all just in the book. I don't think they ever made a movie. He's sitting in the library reading along with a bunch of humans. And it had become commonplace by this point. And eventually, as you read through the story, the aliens are going to take over the whole world. Imagine that. Who would have thought? Anyway, the aliens are going to take over the whole world. But here's where my mind started going. As I was thinking about, because obviously you read this stuff, you think, well, could that really happen? And most of us say, no, it couldn't happen. But then I was thinking, would Satan do something like this? And I realized that one of Satan's selling points is to convince us that there is some superior race of beings out there that knows infinitely better than we and knows what is good and what is right, and that eventually they may come interact with us, and when they do, then we are going to learn the truth and we're going to change our ways accordingly. And I'm thinking, this is exactly the game of Satan, who started with that same accusation in the garden and said to Eve, did he really say that? No, here's the truth. He doesn't want you taking that fruit because he knows that in the day you do it, now you're going to have knowledge like you've never had before. Now, doesn't that sound good? And of course, it did sound good. And so she ate the fruit. She violated God's command. And that has been Satan's game all along. And so even today, this preoccupation with aliens is almost inevitably connected to some thought that there's some superior race out there, all the while totally ignoring the truth that there is an infinite, almighty God to whom we will eventually give our account. We will fall before his throne. And so I think that there is a possibility a lot of people are being misled. And I don't necessarily think that we're going to end up in a situation where Satan and his hordes actually disguise themselves as another type of being that appear to be more intelligent than us and take over the world. But they're doing that in roundabout ways and all kinds of ways all around us. And all of it is because we're failing to get back to the Word of God and saying, God, what really is going on here? So many people have come to me and asked me through the years, and I've had this over and over and over, what do you think about aliens? What do you think about this? And in dialogue with them, I find out that they spend all kinds of time either watching some so-called history channel or something else on TV that includes a bunch of alien stuff and looking at these mysteries of the Aztecs or whatever else it may be. And yeah, nobody could have done this except aliens. That's always their claim. And they spend so much time in that. And when I finally get down to, after all the things they shared with me, how much time do you spend in the Bible? I find out they don't hardly read the Bible at all. And the little bit that they do read the Bible, they're just looking to see whether or not that they can confirm these reports that they've heard on TV or in some wild, fantastic book. Really? That's what you're going to the Bible for? The Bible is not for you to confirm whether or not there's alien life. The Bible is to tell you how to live your life so that you're going to be able to stand before God one day and have God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And if you're using the Bible for any other purpose than to discover the truth about who he is and who you are in him, you're misusing the scriptures. Just quit watching all that garbage. Quit reading that garbage. It is counterproductive. You spend the same amount of time in God's word that you're spending on that garbage, I guarantee your life's going to improve. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox now. Was there something else here?
Well, our birthday gentleman here, which is celebrating his 72 years young
birthday
today, he wanted me to point out that in the Bible, God only addresses the earth, singular, not plural.
Good point. Thank you. Yeah, there's not plural worlds, but heavens, singular.
Heavens, too.
And heavens.
Heavens is
plural. Well, you've got three different heavens. You've got the heaven that is our atmosphere, and then you've got the heavens, which includes the stuff we see in the night, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, and all that. And then you've got the third heaven, which is a reference not to a geographical place. It is a reference to the very presence of God. Obviously, God is everywhere. It's not like you have to find out where heaven is so you can go find God. God is everywhere. But that third heaven is a reference to being in the very presence of God. And that's what Paul says, that he was taken up to the third heaven. It was beyond where the birds fly. It was beyond the stars and the planets, as we say. But by beyond, we don't mean geographically. We mean in terms of he found himself in the very presence of God. God allowed him to be able to see that. So you're right. Singular earth, singular world. Are we the center of the universe? Well, not in terms of the astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy. We know that. The sun is where our planets rotate, and apparently we're part of some bigger thing in this galaxy, and then there's all these galaxies. All of this, by the way, should not undermine our faith in the Word of God. They should lead us to a sense of awe, of amazement, that our Almighty God did all of that. But we are the center of the universe in terms of God's plan. And that's not going to be popular in our world today. But it is the absolute truth. And unfortunately, those who reject that truth are going to find themselves standing before God Almighty and find out, yeah, it really was about him and it really was about us. And we've missed it. So we got several hands here.
Well, to me, God is creator God. And I can't imagine that with all the species he's created here on earth, I can't imagine that he hasn't created other species throughout the universe, but they, in the story of Lazarus, he talks about a great chasm, and probably so we shouldn't probably come in contact with those other whatever species might be out there, but it would be God that had created it, like you said, and as far as that technology that supposedly came from aliens, if we lived 600 or so years like before the flood, we could figure out a lot of that technology, and it would look like foreign technology.
Thank you for that. Yes. And in terms of species, you know, whether or not there are other animal species, again, I can't answer that definitively. We're looking for life on other planets. Obviously, when you say that, people think of the alien stuff. But what are they looking for on Mars? They're looking for bacteria. You know, that's what they're looking for, life on other planets. Because if they discover bacteria, that's going to tell them something about what else is possible there. You know, I have no problem with that. Our God is a great God who has created this great diversity of things worldwide. There's no reason for us to not search out every possibility. But to presuppose another alien race out there, I think goes way out against what the scriptures teach. Here's another thing that comes to my mind, though, and it's consistent with kind of what you're saying. God is eternal. He is infinite, meaning without bounds. He is eternal, meaning without a beginning or end. So he is timeless. He is infinite. We could talk about all these characteristics of God, but let's just focus on this infinity. God is infinite. And as I stated earlier, that means that God is not contained in time. Even to reference God with a time reference misunderstands the nature of God. God is the creator of time. God is not bound to time. He is eternal. Just attempting to get your mind wrapped around that will probably blow a gasket, because we can't comprehend that. Stop and think about it. Everything you know had a beginning except God. Everything. So to try to comprehend something without a beginning does blow our gaskets. But he is eternal, so he had no beginning. He is the creator of time. We think in terms of time. You know, some people are going to tell us this universe is billions of years old. I do not buy that, but I can't give you the answers that would satisfy all the scientific questions that come as a result of my rejection of that particular facet of the way that God has done things. But even assuming that the world is billions, that the universe is billions of years old, let's assume that the universe is trillions of years old just for the sake of argument. So, what did God do before he created us? We use the term before, which is a misnomer in itself, because there is no before with God. God exists, and he exists at all times, if you use the term time. So he was at the end before the beginning, because he is everything. Everything exists in him. So to speak in terms of God doing something before he created, we understand a time reference because we are linear people. And so we know God created the heavens and the earth. You plug that time wherever you think it's best. He created Adam and Eve. And then the flood came. And then you've got, and we track ourselves linearly because that's the way we operate. That's the world in which we live. And we're incapable of fully comprehending something that goes beyond time. So let's just assume then that we plug this creation of the world right here. Does that mean that for any infinity before that, that God never did anything? That he just sat around for infinity twiddling his thumbs? I can't buy that. You know, the fact that he created time means that I really don't have to worry about what happened before time began. And I'm not going to worry about it. But to say that God may have done something else, well, I'm certainly not going to argue with that. Because we're talking about God. He decided that he would create this universe, and we are a part of that, and we exist in time. Has God done something else? He may well have, but we're not going to find out about that anywhere except from God himself, definitively. We can study the universe. All of that fits into what the scriptures say. The material universe fits into this. Whether or not God created other beings fits into this. We just saw it, that everything that was created was created by Jesus Christ. So even if you're going to go with some beings that existed before this world existed, they still are not eternal beings, because there's only one eternal being, and that is God. Which means that if there are other beings, they are less than eternal. They are finite. And that means God created them, because he created everything that exists. So we're still going to have to say God did it. And according to the scriptures, when all is said and done, Jesus Christ is going to reign supreme over everything he created. Which means even if you come up with aliens, and I have to begrudgingly say, oh, you're right, I guess there are aliens, Jesus Christ is still in charge of those aliens. And that is critical for us to understand. There is so much we don't understand. But the big picture is Jesus Christ created it all. And Jesus Christ is over it all. And when all is said and done, everything that has ever been created, everything that has ever existed or will ever exist, will contribute to the glory of God. And that is our ultimate purpose in life, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I'm out of time, but I'll go ahead with one more.
Yeah, I was thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where it is talk, let's say verse 9. It says the coming of the lawless one.
Hold it. 2 Thessalonians?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9.
Okay.
The coming of the lawless one is based on Satan's working with all kinds of false miracles, signs, and wonders, and with every unrighteous deception among those who are perishing, and they perish because they don't accept the love of the truth in order to be saved. For this reason, God sent them a strong delusion so that they will believe what is false, so that all will be condemned, those who do not believe the truth but enjoyed unrighteousness. And that really is talking about the coming one, which is the Antichrist, I believe, but
right.
I've heard Christians discuss the subject of speculating that possibly the aliens could be part of this strong delusion that God brings upon the earth. And the fact is whatever it is coming. Yeah, God will send it. He will allow it because he's sovereign.
In terms of aliens, let me just change our terminology, and I think that this will be biblically accurate.
Okay.
That our terminology, we tend to use the term aliens. Inevitably, that term ends up pointing to something that is outside the Bible, something that is outside normal Christian experience. So let's avoid that term, because there are no aliens in that sense. Mm-hmm. There are created beings who are doing God's purposes, and there are created beings who are not doing God's purposes. That is it.
Really.
Regardless of what label you give them, that is the only two categories that exist. God is the creator of all beings, and either those beings are doing his purposes, as those of us who are born again are attempting to do, or as the good angels are continuing to do, mm-hmm. or there are those who are disobeying him and attempting to work against God's purposes, and that would be the devil, Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call him, and his hosts, those who fell with him. And I would put them into that. If somebody says maybe aliens will be used to as a part of this strong delusion, let's get more specific. Demons.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about the demonic realm. And regardless of what they say about where they may come from and what superior intellect they may have, I guarantee you, if they are beings that do not confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that through him alone is salvation, if they don't confess that, then they are demons if they are not human beings, and they are promoting that which is false.
Amen.
So we get rid of the terminology alien, and we're just going to go with created beings. And I'm way past time, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for reminding us today that you are the God who created all things for your glorious purposes. We thank you that you work all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purposes. And we confess there is so much that we don't understand, and there are so many different things that are out there that we're being told that we need to look here, look there, understand this, understand that. Where the bottom line is that you've told us that your word is truth and that we need to be in your word. That if we accept your word as truth and believe all that you've written there, then we will put our faith in Jesus Christ and we will be children of God. I pray that each one of us would have that. And that doesn't keep us from exploring scientific issues and looking for more clues as to the way that you've created this wonderful universe. But Lord, let us always be found meditating on the truth of your word and staying true to every single principle, every single verse that we find in the scriptures. Thank you that you are the sovereign God, the eternal God, the infinite God, and that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. We pray in his name, amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless, my brothers and sisters.